God the prophet of Malachi 4.
Good to see Brother Colley and the other ones back here this morning. Good to see all these smiling faces. What a great place it is to be today. I enjoy. And I'm glad to be here. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting ready for the word, and I sure am hungry. I'm waiting on it. My soul needs it. We're going to read, I think, Psalms 27 this morning. And before we go to the reading of the word, I'd like to thank the author for sending his word to heal us and deliver us. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day you've given us to come and gather around your word in this place, Lord. And you sent the ministry here, Father, to heal our souls, Lord, and mend our broken bodies back, Father. And we ask, Lord, that you just have your way with us today and just open our ears and anoint our hearts, Lord, that we can receive your word this day, Father. Touch and bless all the sick and afflicted among us, Father. And most of all, Father, those that couldn't make it through the doors today. You know their needs, Lord, and just touch them and bless them and be with them. And bless the little bride around the world and a little bride here at home. And Father, I'd ask and thank you for this virus thing that's afflicting the world out there, Lord. Just let them know again, Father, that you didn't send a spirit of fear. You sent a spirit of faith and respect, Lord. And we ask now, Lord, as we go to the reading of your word, you just come on the scene and touch and bless us. Forgive us of our sins and lead and guide us and have your way with us. We ask these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me.
When thou sayest, see my face, my heart said to thee, thy face, Lord, will I see.
Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Teach me the way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies.
Deliver me not, O Lord, from the will of my enemies, for all faces are risen against me, and such is my power.
I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait upon the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen mine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Thank you, and you may be seated.
Amen. I hope he's your strength, your life, your shield this morning. There's no reason to be afraid of anything. Amen. In him is all faith. Let's turn to page 151, your spiral songbook if you have it near you. I hope you identify as one of them this morning. one of the chosen ones in Christ. Amen. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame. Fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart of glory too. In his name, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and power for service came. Now what he did then for that day, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Sing it out to them. One of them, hallelujah, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bells ringing and keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart, oh glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them, hallelujah, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them, praise the Lord, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one. Let's sing that last verse. Oh, come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bells ringing and keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart, oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad, one of them. You're so glad this morning, one of them, hallelujah, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them, praise the Lord, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Amen. Oh, he is Lord. He is Lord. And he is Lord, and every knee shall bow, every tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's just make him our Lord this morning. Oh, he Yes, Lord, just surrender all to him. Oh, he is Lord. For he has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. For every knee shall as we sing it once more. Oh, he is Lord. Yes, he's my Lord. For he has risen from the dead, and he full preeminence. Amen. Have his way with us this morning. Let's change the order of the service. As a brother comes this morning, all mind and hearts clear.
Amen.
Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Oh, I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Yes, open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you.
See him? Amen. We'll just look into the Word, because that's where we find him here, right? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have our visitors with us. Brother Tom and his wife. I told him I wouldn't try to pronounce his name, because I never get anything right anyway. And he said he had that habit. So, okay, we know where we're at.
Yeah.
But they're originally from Flagstaff, Arizona. Brother Jim Ed Dalton and them, they're the church, and they're you're living in Gainesville now, so we say welcome. You come one time here, you get a welcome. Right. We say welcome to you. From then on, don't expect to say welcome, because you're just part of us, and we're just part of the body of Christ and all, and just keep that in mind and pray that the Lord would bless, okay? Remember now, Brother Bob will be ministering, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday, so keep that in mind. And the other announcements, they did you make them, but you will this evening, okay? Okay. All right. So if you like.
Communion this afternoon.
Right. We're going to have communion this afternoon now, but not foot washing, because we're going to stay away from the contact thing of the what they're asking to do. So we're doing the best we can do. But we will be having communion this afternoon, you know, for the glory of the Lord. Looking forward to that, because we're just putting back in things that were taken out because of the situation and all like that, okay? And Sister Esther wants us to make sure that all of the sisters, now, we'll announce this afternoon too, but all the sisters that are going to be going on their little outing there in June, that if you will meet after we get through with the communion, after we're through with that, then the sisters are asked to meet together to see, you know, what is to be done and who's going and what's going to be taking place. All right, so we'll... Right, in Wade's Sunday school class after we get through with the communion this afternoon, okay? So you remember that? All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for everything. And we just ask you that you would come among us now and that you'd open our hearts and our eyes to thy word, that we may walk in the light of your love and your grace. And Father, forgive our sins. Keep us in thy love and understanding. We ask you to bless each one of us here today. Bless our visitors. And Father, we just praise your great name for an opportunity to be able to fellowship together around thy word. Have your way, Lord. Remember the sick among us. Remember Brother Al, Brother Dale, Sister Mary, and the different ones, Sister Jean, Sister Johnny, and all the ones that are sick among us, that, Lord, we just keep them on our hearts and pray continually. We love you and we thank you. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like, turn in Exodus 3. We'll try to pick up our thought and continue on from where we've been speaking about this. Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. Now, I like that. When the Lord saw. Now, he knew he was going to turn and everything else, but still Moses was a part of it and wanted to look and see. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, and for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, now this is God speaking once now, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Remember I told you last week the way to read that is really to say, I am the God of thy father. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. Because it's illustrated there to the point. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian, and to bring them out of that land unto a good land, a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we were trying last week to, get a kind of a layout and an understanding of what is taking place, because that's what I like to do. That's the reason I like that. You know, like I said there, when you're reading it more, I am the God of Abraham. Well, it's not put in there because it's doing, but then you can say, I am the God of Isaac. I am the God. All right. Now, when we get down to the bottom in a minute, you'll see the emphasis of that and why we keep talking about it. All right. So we've been going through kind of in the Old Testament, looking at the things there, and saw that it says in Genesis, God created, and it's 30-something times there in the book of Genesis 1, that God created, all right? That's not in total capitalization and things, because remember our story, when God is here on earth, when God is speaking to mankind from heaven, it'll say, the Lord, capital, great big letters and things like that, because it's emphasizing where it's from. He spoke to, even to Cain, the Lord, the capital letters and things, you know. And then when it would come on down, see, then it, from Genesis 1, it would be God. And then when you get to Genesis 2, you'll pick it up in 3 and start from there on, and it'll be Lord God. Capital letters and things like that begins to appear, which is to emphasize the importance of what you're talking about. All right, a noun is supposed to be started off with a capital letter because it's the name of a person, place, or thing. See, it can be brought all the way through because you're using the letters like that. Not trying to be an English major, but just to make sure that you follow what I'm talking about. All right, that, see, we can follow that Lord God. All right, when you come to this part now, then he gets to Exodus and it picks up and Moses has his personal experience at the burning bush. Okay, so then when he does, God speaks to Moses and said, I am the God of Abraham. He reminds him, you know, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, I'm the God of Jacob. He reminds him of who he is. And Moses says plainly, like I've tried to emphasize to you a little bit about it, that Moses said, that's good. I know about the God of Abraham. I know about Abraham. I know the records. I know the things, you know, mental records, if nothing else, that I know about the God of Isaac. I know what happened there, the God of Jacob, the things. I know what took place in those situations. But now when I get down there, they are going to ask me if I come in and say, now, I've come down here to lead you out of bondage. And they're going to say, what's his name? You know, all right. And then when he says, now, when they say, what's his name? Moses was saying, and it was plain, I don't know about this situation. I don't understand it because I understand Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I understand. But now in all of that, there was never a name picked up. Right. Even when you're going into Genesis, you go to Elohim. You go to Genesis 2, 3, 4, you're going into Elohim. Elohim means self-existing one, but it is not a name. It's a title of a name. Amen. Then you pick up Lord God. And when you pick up Lord God, what are you picking up? Jehovah Elohim, which Jehovah means like a father with his family, but no name. All right. Moses is simply saying to God, I understand all of the situation there, but said, I want to know what your name is. Said, at least if you're going to send me, you could tell me who's doing the sending. Well, he said, okay, I'll just tell you, I am that I am. All right. And that's bold italicized letters if you're looking in your Bible. See, it's bringing it down to understanding this is one specific situation. as I said, when you come over to Lord God of Genesis 2, then it emphasizes, the emphasis is placed upon capitalization, because that way you would understand that you're dealing with God Almighty himself. But remember, whether it be Yahweh, Elohim, you know, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tiskenu, all of those things, all of that is references as titles to a name, because it's not a name. Remember, they couldn't pronounce it. Now, they could pronounce or make a stab. Let me make that correctly in this way that I've tried to explain it. You could make a stab at JVHU. You can make a stab at it. But remember the point. There is no vowels except the U part that's used in there. So there was no way they could interpret. Now, they could take a stab. You know, they could make a stab. Well, it's JVHU. That's JVH. That's his name. We're right back where we was when we were in the denominations and things. And you'd say, what is the name of God? Well, what do you mean, what is the name of God? His name is God. We know his name is God. Well, God is an object of worship. Right? And see, that's not a name. So you still don't have it. And Brother Brown says, even when it comes to the burning bush, I'll get to this in a minute, even up to the burning bush, he still has no name. Now, not that he didn't have a name, not that his name wasn't present, but his name could not be interpreted. Let's put it that way. Jehovah could, you know, you could say, well, that's just JVA, that's Jehovah. But it couldn't be interpreted. Elohim couldn't be interpreted to mankind. So when you get up here to even to the burning bush, then you're still at that. And he says, I am that I am. Now, remember how we emphasized that the other day? And I want the point to remain in your mind, because you go back up to verse 6 when he said, moreover, I am the God of Abraham. God speaking personally to Moses. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When he gets down here, Moses says, tell me your name. If I'm going down, I want to know what name I'm going in. I want to tell them when they say something, I want to tell them something that they'll realize that there's something involved here that we need to think about. So he says, Moses, tell them I am, listen. See, he's saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? So he's saying to Moses, Moses, tell them, I am that. I am. Who? The one to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? I am that I am. See, because now you're getting closer to a name. You're developing more of an understanding to interpret, as reading I'm saying, instead of saying pronounce a name, you can pronounce, because Brother Brown said there's plenty of Jesuses in the world. In the days of Jesus, there was plenty of Jesuses. All right? But there was only one Lord Jesus Christ. There was only one that the Bible said you'll call his name Emmanuel, but they didn't do it. They called him Jesus. Because they said, now you'll call him Jesus because he'll save his people. Specifically stating who he is, what he's doing. Amen. Now that's the emphasis I'm trying to get you to think about, is how that is it develops further and further throughout. You're getting to a closer understanding of how to interpret the name. Amen. All right? Because you're not just dealing with letters on a page. You understand what I'm saying? He's saying, I am that. I'm the one that spoke to Moses. I mean, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Now I'm speaking to you. Said, you just go tell them I am. But said, remember to tell them I am that I am. Because remember, the children of Israel were supposed to be the people of God. And should have understood who Abraham was, should have understood who Isaac was, Jacob was, and should have understood what took place and how God revealed himself to mankind over the time and bringing it out, that it would come from trying to bring it out as Elohim, self-existing. Now, that's self-existing for eternity. Now, we'll get when you take Elohim, see, you get self-existing. When you get to I am means ever-present for eternity. Same as Elohim. Elohim was ever-present for eternity. Now you're coming down here that you're getting to I am that I am. I'm that name that's always been. In the Bible, he says there, he said, this is my name forever. Right? It'll be a perpetual name forever. Well, there's not but one name. Remember now last week, and we'll try to pick it up from that thought. You remember what we're talking about? There's only one name that can fit into this situation. And there's where we've missed it at. What did Brother Branham say about Eve's first mistake? He said she didn't believe Hebrews 13:8. Now, that's his words. Eve didn't believe Hebrews 13:8. What is Hebrews 13:8? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, do we believe it as just trying to pronounce a name or trying to find a new name or trying to find a coded something, or how you would say it, in the Bible to try to pick up something, to get something to make a thrill in our understanding? Or are we trying to see who he really is? See, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's no coincidence that it happens up over here in Hebrews 13:8, and to bring that out, because that's the only name that God ever had. All right, now we're up to the point of where we're at, right? The prophet said what? He said the only name God ever had is Jesus. Huh? See, then that would make him Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember what we talked about, Hebrews 13:7? To consider a man's conversation. Consider what a preacher preaches about. Does he preach Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Or does he preach Jesus in a way? Oh, in a way, he's the same. No, the prophet said he's in every way the same. All right? So now you've got your Hebrews 13:8 to understand that where you can come to the name and look back here in the Old Testament and follow the opening of the word from God, Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh's, all of those titles and things, the Jehovah Jireh's and things, all pointing to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jehovah the Old, Jesus of the New. Right? Jehovah the Old is Jesus of the New. All right? Now, when you come to the New Testament part, then you could pronounce his name. But that's where I love it so much, of where that they, the way that they put it in there. You know, because it's in Isaiah that says, you'll call his name Emmanuel. Well, why didn't the angel speak to Mary and say, you'll call his name Emmanuel? Why didn't she call him Emmanuel? Right? She did. He did. Because Emmanuel is who you're talking about. Jesus Christ. Why? Because Emmanuel, it said, because he'll save his people. Have you ever noticed one little point? Go back in your Old Testament and you'll notice something there a little different to what they're doing. The word Emmanuel is spelled two different ways in the Bible. The Old Testament is spelled with an I. The New Testament is spelled with an E. I don't understand how come. I'm just telling you, don't go and run in your thing and you'll say, well, I'm going to run this in and I'm going to find, you know, where it says back in the Old Testament about this Emmanuel. And you'll find that you won't find Emmanuel with an E in the Old Testament. I'm just giving you something where that you can go back in it and you won't get lost like I have. You know, you have to sit down and think, wait a minute, how come this is? Because in Isaiah it says I unto Emmanuel. And over in Matthew it says E, Emmanuel. Just something to wake you up and make you think. Read your Bible. Read it for yourself and try to get an understanding out of it. Read it just like I said. Read this where it says, I am that I am. He had just told him that he was the I am of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and all like that. And Moses ain't ready to go. Right? But he says, now give me his name. Then the voice rings back to him to say, I am that I am. Amen. Moses said, okay, I'm ready to go. Why? Because he's getting an understanding. Amen. He's getting something personal. Amen. A revelation of God to himself. More of understanding. That's why it's not to try to pronounce names and things. It's to try to get an understanding of what the revelation of that name means to you. And bringing you to that situation. All right? So remember, the I am at the burning bush, the Jehovah the old, became Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts. Right? The angel of the covenant was the Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared to Moses from the burning bush. The Bible says the angel of the Lord. And he said, I'll send mine angel before thee. I'll do that. It's always talking about this angel. Who is that angel? He's the angel of the covenant. He's the one that appears then to, and they talk about him in Acts 7. They pick it up and start talking about this and who it really is. Because his name, as I said, they had many Jesuses. They had many Jesuses back in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was only one Lord Jesus Christ. There was only one that would fit Emmanuel. Whether you want to spell it with an I or an E, it don't make no difference. It's just a point of illustrating. And see, then you're coming down to understand the point that you're trying to find that name. And isn't it odd that when Jesus came, what did he say? I am come in my Father's name. Who was he? He was the I am. He was Jehovah the Old Testament, appearing as the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament of the I Am. Amen. Meaning ever present for eternity and never will change that name. Amen. Why? Because that name is a perpetual name. That's what your scripture says. Amen. All right. Not I was, but I am. All right. So then J-V-H-U interpreted. Now, did you get the background or I need to review that again? J-V-H-U interpreted is the name Jesus. Not J-V-H-U pronounced. Remember where Brother Branham was at about it when he was sitting there and he said the voice spoke, Jehovah the old is the Jesus of the new. Amen. Remember, that's where the squirrels came into existence. Right? Keep reading and listening to the prophet. That's when the squirrels started appearing, the different things happening. Why? Because he was Jehovah the old. See? Then now listen to what I'm getting at. See, then a Jehovah the old would have to, his name could not be pronounced, or as I said now, not to just try to pronounce it, but it could not be interpreted. Right. But when it came into the New Testament, you could find the interpretation of it. Because his name is to be called Jesus. Now remember what we went through there in Matthew in chapter 1 or 2, and what it is where they'll call his name Jesus. Remember, they italicized that. They bold lettered that to make it where you would see who it's talking about. See, coming from just the name Jesus, that would be anybody. Right? Jesus. There would be just anybody. What's the number? Somebody pronounced that Spanish name the other day. Jesus, whatever it is, where you call him Jesus. See? Because you got the name Jesus. But you're not getting to the person that the name is implying. It comes to the New Testament and picks it up in bold letter. Jesus called, he will be the Savior of the people. It tells what that name is. It tells you who you're looking for. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name is Jesus. May not click and wake up in you as much, but it sure has to me. Because Brother Branham said on adoption, paragraph 8, 184, adoption, 1960, the only name that God ever had.
Amen.
Is Jesus.
Amen.
It took all of those years for that name to come into being. Not to just get the letters, J-E-S-U-S. Not to get it up ever how you'd do it in Spanish to Jesus or whatever you'd make it. But getting to understand the name Jesus. Amen. I keep saying it that way because the Bible would say he'd be the one that would save his people and things like that. Because it's emphasizing a specific person. And when that specific person is emphasized in the New Testament then, when the angel came to Mary, to call his name Jesus. The interpreters are the writers and things that brought it into our English language to understand. They italicized those letters, J-E-S-U-S, but not all the way through. Because there in one chapter you have J-E-S-U-S italicized. In other words, bold letters. In a minute, you'll have it just regular letters. Because it's according to what it's dealing with. Remember the key of what I said to start with on like Lord God. You notice it, read it. When God is speaking, when God was speaking to Cain, look at the big bold letters that they've got there. The Lord spoke to Cain. The Lord spoke to Abel. The Lord spoke to Abraham. The Lord spoke. Look at it. But then after a while, you'll find it in lowercase or what you want to call it. And it'll be L-O-R-D, but it'll be small letter. See, that's why the Bible says it. The Lord, capital, L-O-R-D, said unto my Lord, lowercase, L-O-R-D. The Lord said unto my Lord. That's not two people.
Amen.
To me, it's showing something. When you're speaking, when God is speaking from heaven, they pick it up and they bring it into bolder letters or more italicized letters or ever what you want to call it in your English doings. I'm not the major. I'm just a preacher. Trying to get you to see a point. Those writers, when they picked it up, they knew what that meant. They knew there was more from Genesis 1 where it would just be G-O-D than it was over in Genesis 2 to say, Lord God.
Amen.
They knew something had happened. So you got Elohim. Then you got Jehovah Elohim. Do you understand? You keep building it up. It keeps understanding of the revelation of the name. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got the name of Almighty God. He said, I come in my Father's name. So what would be the Father's name?
Amen.
Jesus is his name. I'm just trying to get you to read your Bible and look for yourself. And see the emphasis of how this italicized enough to where you can say, hey, they made that bold enough for me to understand something is being brought out into me. Remember, it's not pronouncing it. It's in an interpretation or an understanding or a revelation that's going with what that is or who that is. See, the Jehovah the Old is Jesus of the New. The one true and living God. Not no Trinity, not no idea. That Trinity's not even in your Bible. Well, we've been taught, that's right, we've been taught. Like Wade was saying the other day about it. The devil, he knows for sure there's just one God. And the Bible said, and he feared. He trembled. He was afraid. But then he turned around and taught me and you a Trinity and laughed at us. And we come out of it swearing by the great Trinity of the Bible. When there's no such thing. He's a triune being. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not three people. It's one person as a triune understanding from that. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Now, come on, was he wrong when he said, I come in my Father's name? Well, that just meant the Father sent him down. Well, explain to me how that, if you remember when he was talking to Moses, he says, come, Moses. He said, I've heard of the crying of my people and things. Come, I'm going to send you. Well, now, how did he send Moses? Come on, what's your prophet's interpretation of where it says, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. What's that understanding? So send I you. What's his understanding of that? He said the one that came down and went in him. He went in him. That's how you're sent. That's how a born-again believer is sent. That's what it does. It's God living in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you listening? See? The only name then God ever had would be Jesus to fit the I am to where he could say, I come in my Father's name, John 5:43. And how then he would be, Hebrews 13:8. Right? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay. See? When something is placed, you know, in English, you start off every sentence with a capital letter, not a capital word. Right? Not a capital word. And I'm looking at one here where it says A-N-D. See, it's the capital A-N-D. When your English part, when you start off a sentence, you start it with a capital. But then when you bring it into the larger case letters, you're more or less referring to that person that is being made known. And his name is Jesus. That's too simple, isn't it? But see, that'll fit into every scripture there is in the Bible from the old all the way through into the new. Now we can pronounce J-V-H-U. His name is Jesus. Because he'll save his people. He is the Emmanuel of the Old Testament, spelled with an I. An E in the New Testament. Why, I don't know. Don't worry. I'm just illustrating it. Showing you that this appears here, then it will help us to understand his name. His name is Jesus. All right? Now, when something is placed within bold letters, you're speaking of the person you're speaking to the person. When it's placed in bold letters, you're speaking to the person. You're emphasizing or making sure that you're understood to say, this is who I'm talking about. All right? Then you can drop back down. Like I said, you can say, the Lord said unto my Lord. Because remember, it was written in English times to where a Lord could be the ruler of a place or this, that, or the other. And God could say, the Lord said unto my Lord. This is easy because he could be using you. See? He can use you to bring forth, but it don't make you him. Right? Now, are you following me? I'm trying to preach today. I believe I came in his name. I'm trying to emphasize that point, but I'm not the God of the letter. See? So then if you put my name there in bold letter, you messed up. That's why it'll say sometimes, even like in Exodus, that the angel of the Lord will go. It's not always in capital letters. Probably there's not any time used in capital letters. Because you're referring to the angel of the Lord. Even though that angel of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. What he's doing. Are you listening? What's taking place or going on? When God is speaking to mankind, it's in bold letters. L-O-R-D will be capital. G-O-D will be capital. Because he's speaking to mankind. But when he's using others to speak, you're talking to your children. You can be to them a Lord to them because you can help them understand. They don't say Lord, you know. But you understand what I'm getting at. I believe God came down in the last days, used a prophet to bring a message. But the messenger wasn't God. You know what I'm getting at? The man himself. No, he wasn't God. All right? But he was used. He was used. Where Brother Brown said it was so close, he said the only technical difference was the physical body between him and you. Come on. Between you as a child of God and him as God himself, the difference is the humanity of where we came and the way we came in and what took place. See? So it would pay for us to take attention sometimes to little bitty ideas that might be able to come out to be something to understanding. Like I said, there where in Psalms it says, the Lord said unto my Lord. Check that out. It's L-O-R-D, capital letters. Bold. But then they'll say L-O-R-D, smaller case. Why? Because I can say to Donnie, my Lord, if we're speaking in King's English, my Lord. But I'm not calling him God. He's lowercase. He's in God's stead for the time or being used, fine. But he's not in the uppercase. See? All right. Isn't this something? Four services ago, I started out to bring out a little bitty point to try to get you to see who you are. Amen. Now, did the prophet make this statement? He said, when the bride realizes who she is and what she's here for, he said, she'll be an invincible army. Satan will be powerless before her when she realizes who she is and what she's doing. Well, what have I been preaching for about 5 or 6 months now? About the bride of Jesus Christ. Right? The bride of Jesus Christ. To bring her to a place of understanding. Like Brother Branham, I was just pulling it up. If you wonder, I got it right in here. Where Brother Branham said, you know, the Godhead is not complete without you.
That's right.
Do you need that? You need that quote from the prophet? The Godhead's not complete without you.
Amen.
Why? Because if you're part of God, and if you have the new birth, that new birth is part of God.
Amen. Right?
The new birth is part of God. It's part of God living in us. You realize what he done? He imparted. Now he's not going to, as Brother Moat said, you ain't going to cut him up like an apple, pass out to pieces and run out of apple. Don't never think about God like that. What I like to think about him is if you could cut him up in pieces and pass him out, as quick as you passed him out, you'd have another apple. You just run out yourself trying to cut it up. You can't do it. Because the more he reveals himself, the more he's coming into perfect view of what he wants us to be. To realize ourselves. And to see what we're doing. Well, let's just take a few little scriptures and then we'll try to end this series on. So let's turn over to, well, go ahead. We'll just use it off the screen. Go ahead to number 9, brothers. I bypassed a long way, so you didn't have to use all that. Now we'll use 9, 10, and 11. All that you can read, which will turn out to be 1 Timothy 6:13. All right? Now look, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things, and before Christ Jesus, that's not two people, see?
Amen.
It's showing you what's taking place. Who before Pilate witnessed a good confession. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch. Which in his times he shall show, now, somewhere through the travel of time, somewhere through the emphasis of the travel of time, this is going to take place. Which in his times, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. Right? Now, who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? Now, watch. Look at that potentate and who he is. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, if you're looking in your Bible or if you're looking on the screen, look, bring it back down because we want to keep it on this for a second. Notice, K, and a little K. Notice, L, and a little L. Right? Who in his time will show he's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now we know for certain he's the King. Right?
Amen.
We don't have no problem with that. He's the King. Now who's the little case?
Amen.
We know that he's the Lord. Well now who's the little lords? See, we don't have time to really get into the message. I started this years ago and went for about 60 services on, making 5 out of it. I'm doing pretty good. But if you ever studied Revelations 5, where there's a group of people there in Revelations 5 that are kings and priests, do we need to read that from the Bible? The book of Revelation talks about a group of people that are kings and priests. That's the bride of Christ.
Amen.
We're the little K's, the little L's. We're the kings and the priests. He's the big K.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And he's the only potentate, the only one that can fit that.
Amen.
He's Hebrews 13:8. He's the only place you can put him. See, then he's the K. He's the big K. He's the big king.
Amen.
But who's the little K's?
Amen.
He's the big L of the Lord. But who is the little Lord's?
Amen.
His offspring.
Amen.
His children.
Amen.
We're going to call her by another name in a minute when we get up to call her a wife. I'm just trying to make an emphasis on it. King of kings and Lord of lords. Read Revelation 5 where it says we're priests and kings. We're whatever he is.
Amen.
Well, there's nothing in us worth anything. The Bible said it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Amen.
It's not what we are, it's what he is.
Amen.
He's the king of kings. Right? The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. All right? We can make it a whole lot more, but now watch, because knowing for certain who this is, let's read verse 16. Who only hath immortality dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto. So you know that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Art, are you clear with that one?
Amen.
He's the big K, we're the little K. He's the big Lord, we're the little Lord. We're his offspring.
Amen.
Right? We're his offspring. Now listen, while we're in this world, we will remain his offspring and don't jump up too high because it won't fit you. All right? But do you understand what I'm getting at now? Which in his own times now, he's going to show what? He's going to show who is the blessed and only potentate. He's going to show how it takes place. That there's a king of kings. And there's a Lord of lords. He's going to show the bride who she really is. She's his wife. Wife, we're talking about it the other day. You're a bride when you stand at the altar and say, I do. But then you become a wife. Right? A maturity. Stature of a perfect man. Okay, we get into that. We can go. All right. Now, look. Okay. We got that one. Now go to the next one. Go to Revelation 17, number 10. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. It's offspring. He's the king. Go to Revelation 5. When you get through today, read it. Read Revelation 5. That we'll be priests and kings. Let's see, just take that to bring it in there. Blessed the only potentate. Show it. Show it in the end time where we know it.
Right.
The message has brought it to understand it. Who he is, but who we are.
Amen.
To know who he is one thing wonderful, but to know who we are.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Come on, what did Moses do? Moses went down to Egypt. Pharaoh said, who in the world is this guy that sent you down here? He said, I'm just not going to tell you that way. I'm going to say, I'm going to take the children out because I am going to do it. Right? And it was so personal, it didn't make him the God, but it made him the second person.
Right.
There ain't no way of saying it that way because it ain't right. Made him the person of God in another form. The angel of the Lord in another form. Now look, pick it up a little further now. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Big K, little K. Big L, little L. Same thing of that it is over there in Timothy. But now he explains who it is, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. That's his bride. That's his wife. Right? Now, come on, let's go one more. Revelation 19. Okay? Now let's read this one. Revelation 19. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. Who is this? And as the voice of many waters. Waters is people. Who is this? And as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God. Look at it. Omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready.
Amen.
Now you've got her involved in this. Whether you would think of it in the other two cases or not, but now you got her there because it's called it. Wife. Come on. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Watch it in a minute later on now. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now watch. And I saw heaven opened. Revelation 19, Brother Branham said, is the bride of Jesus Christ riding back into the millennial reign as the anointing to the temple. Now that is Daniel 70 weeks in the message. The bride is returning back. She is the anointing to the temple. Look, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written. Now what? This is Revelation 19 now. That no man knew but he himself. Okay? And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. White and clean linen back up our minute ago. So this is who? The bride riding back into the millennium. Now listen. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Now look in your Bible to make sure that that's right on this screen. Big K. Big K. Right? King of kings. Lord, capital L-O-R-D, stays capital L-O-R-D. Remember what we was covering? King of kings. Big K. Little K. Lord, L-O-R-D. Lord, big L, little L. That's the bride. That's what I hope you agreed with that point up to there. Look at the supernatural revelation now that you're looking at. As she's riding into the millennium, she has whatever name he has. Right? Because she's his wife. His name is Jesus, so our name is Jesus. Now, if he comes up with a new name, everybody in the message hollering, we're going to get a new name. Well, that's all right. I ain't never arguing with nobody because I ain't worried about it. I ain't exhausted the name of Jesus yet. When that's true, I'll be ready to go on, because the next name can't be nothing in redemption, because Jesus is the name of Redeemer.
Amen. That's right.
Now get that point. Jesus is the name of Redeemer. So whatever his name is a Redeemer. If you got a new name coming, that's fine. That's all right. But remember, whatever it is, at this time, is riding into the millennium. She has done went to the marriage supper. She done spent that time. And she's riding back into the millennium to be anointing to the temple, riding with him. And he recognizes her not as just to be a something he chose. The other is the choosing. We're chosen in him. Amen. We're his children. Amen. Big K, little K, we're his children. We're his offspring. Now he brings it all to one emphasis. Amen. Bold letter. Look in your Bible. Bold letter. Amen. King of kings and Lord of lords. Because he and the bride have both become one. She's his wife. Amen. The wife has the name of the husband. Amen. So whatever his name is, that's what my name is. And until it runs out, it stays Jesus. And I ain't going to argue with you. You start telling me, well, a brother down here has had the new name. I want to hear it, and I want to see it in the Word. You want to see it in signs and wonders. You want to see if this brother over here, they done it right after Brother Branham passed off the scene. Come on, I know a little bit. When Brother Branham passed off the scene, there was a group of people that were well-named, went over to another man's meetings to see what kind of signs and wonders he was having. Why did I care what he was having? I wasn't there to do it, but I'm just saying it that way. Why do I care? I don't care about signs and wonders. I've preached that all of my life in this message. The Bible says the prophet show you a sign and it come to pass. You better believe it, right? But now read the other one where it said if a prophet shows you a sign and it comes to pass, but he takes you to another god. Said, don't believe him. Said, cause I sent him among you to try you. I'm going to try my wife. Brother Brown said the bride would be tried to prove that she would not fall like Eve fell in the garden. Where did she fall? Hebrews 13:8. That's what he said. She failed on Hebrews 13:8 to keep him the same. When we get it to the basis that he's the same all the way. You're not afraid of none of this stuff going on out here? No. I say it's going to get worse. The prophet said it, so what are we worried about it? But we ought to be, like I told my wife yesterday, or Wade was talking yesterday, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. It shouldn't have to be that we have to tell people, and you know, I'm going to say this and leave it. I am not going to call any of you and invite you to church. I told you that to start with when this started with this 9/11. Amen. I mean, not, I can't. What is it, Lily? Where are you at? I can't. This viruses. I told you then, I said, we're going to have a church on a volunteer basis. Amen. You remember that? Because it's like some of them said, you know, well, they were to do this with the governor of Georgia. They were to do this with the president because of what he's doing. He's doing his job. That's right. You realize you could tell me the same thing if I called you and invited you to come to church? I will not call you. If I know you're sick, I'll call you. If I know you're sick, I'll call you. But I'm not going to call you and invite you to church. Right. You're going to come on your own accord or not come. Because this is not a basis of trying to build some kind of something. This is a basis of free moral agency. Yes, sir. Amen. You say, are you talking about some of these? I'm talking about the truth. I'm telling it like it is from my side of the story. Because if I called you up, if I called up Brother Mark and said, Brother Mark, we missed you at church. You ought to come. Then he could sue me for getting him involved in some kind of a deal that the people could be sick all around him. Then he could sue me for calling him. I ain't going to do it. But we're going to see who's who.
That's right.
Because we never missed a service yet.
Nope. Right?
Amen. Daughter asked me, said, Daddy, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to church.
Amen.
She looked over at her husband and said, that settled that. Now, that's the truth. That's what happened. That solved that problem. We ain't missed a service so far.
Amen.
You think this is the persecution? No. This is the volunteer basis that you're giving up your rights every day.
Right.
Oh, they're getting you so involved. Come on. They done got you with about, how many kids are going to say, about $2,500 that they shoved into his pocket. Now, ain't nobody sent it back. Right? And you that are against Trump, I ain't for need nobody. I'm making myself plain. But if you don't like Trump, you ought to send the money back. I ain't going to do it. Well, then keep the money. Come on. I've got some quotes from the prophet where he said, keep your home and take the mark of the, or be a, become a Catholic. That's the way the wording he used. All right. I'm not trying to be anything. I'm just trying to be honest. We didn't get into this by being anything. Nobody's begged anybody to come to church to get you to come here. You're welcome to come here. Amen. Glad to have you. But I'm just plain. I'm sorry. You ought not be so plain. Okay. Maybe that's true. Because you see, when you start dealing with money, you're going to get in people's pocket. And you're going to get them in your hand. Then let's see how many sins back there. How is it? My neighbor says it. He says it's stimulus money. Ain't nobody going to send it back. I ain't either. Why? Because I'm going to enjoy it. If he's dumb enough to give it to me, I'm going to spend it. And that's what he wants me to do anyway. He wants the economy to move. Right? Hey, we get it to moving. Yeah, but that's what. Now remember, I didn't say this. I didn't say this, but he did. Trump said it. He said, make sure you pay your tithe. But I'll tell you one thing. You better be careful from now on. Now, I'm dead serious now. Get you to life. Get you to understand. But I'm dead serious. The Bible said and the prophet said he'll come in by flattery. Don't get caught by all these things that's taking place. He'll come in by flattery. You're going to invite him in. Amen. That's what I said. I said, this ain't the persecution. No. No, they ain't against it. Look at what he said. Look at what the man got up and said. He said, if you're going to open the bars and the nightclubs, he said, I'm opening the churches. And if there's any trouble, he said, come to me. Now, but he must have some authority. Because he said, if you got any trouble, you come to me. Well, I agree with him. If you're going to open up the bars and the things. Well, Brother Dale, we can't go to church. I'm just talking. I got a little, it's 11:30. But you can put on a mask and go to Walmart. But I ain't going to church. You put on a mask and go to Walmart. Why don't you put on a mask and go to church? You know, in some states, it's against the law to go out without a mask. Well, I'd agree with it. We're trying to do everything we can do to try to be, you know, honor to what's going on. But then one day when it comes down to it, what's it going to be next? You realize they were so close there a few months ago that if they'd have said no churches, you realize that's all he had to say. No churches. What if he does it again? What are we going to do? What if they demand we close the doors and they make them a storehouse for what they want? We'll face that day when we get there. Until we do, we will spend this money and enjoy what we're doing and have a good time in Jesus Christ. And serve the Lord, because we know the end of the story if you're listening to what I'm saying. We started out with this series in the Old Testament, brought it all the way through, coming through in the New Testament, wind up and not at the end because the end of it, but the end is the end of the the basics of the bride, because she just, from there on out, it goes into the Israel. But then we ride back in the millennium. On them white horses with him. Dressed in fine linen just like he's dressed. And whatever his name is will be our name. You say, well, what is it? I don't know. There's no need to worry about wanting to know it. Brother Run said it may be made known when you get there. Now, that's the only words I've got. I'm not interpreting nothing. I'm just saying that's what he said. Because there ain't no need to worry about it. Right? Just be happy and thank God for him revealing the truth to us. You realize what it would be if he hadn't revealed this message to us? You realize where we would be? Amen. We would be just like they are right now around the world. They're arguing and they'll just dump their whole religious freedom and everything right into the hands of somebody down the road from now. But what are you going to do? Well, they're going to arrest you. Oh, Paul, he stayed a few nights in jail. Yeah, but you ain't Paul. I said, no, I ain't Paul. I ain't trying to be. But there's one thing about it. One of these days we're going to find out what we are. We're going to see what we are. But you know what? This is when you're getting ready. Because my Bible says, if you can't keep up with the footman, what about when the horsemen get here? Right? That's the Bible. Plainly saying, if you can't live now a Christian life, what's going to happen if persecution comes your way? If you can't live right now as a Christian, there has never been a question in my mind since the beginning of all of the, even the Baptists, I was ready to go to church. We went to church. We didn't take, if we take a vacation now, it's related around something or close to it or whatever we're trying to do. Because this is all I've got. Christianity is all I've got. But you know what? That's all I want. I don't want your money and your doings. I want a people that are all dedicated to one thing. Because I will tell you this. The Wednesday night service, after they declared this situation and kind of put a little stamper on the church thing, I sat right there in the study and watched and counted. I thought, Lord, there'll probably be 20 here. Hey, I'm honest. I don't. Well, you're not talking about me like that. Hey, you talk about me all you want to, so don't worry about it. I sat there and I counted. I counted. 80-something people. Because I didn't announce whether we was going to have service that Wednesday or not. I never announced on Sunday we was going to have Wednesday service. I deliberately never announced it. Because I wanted you to make up your mind whether you wanted to go or not. All right? I said, thank you, Lord. There's a group of people. And we, our numbers has increased in daily operational points, you know, the Wednesdays and the thing. Even if you have to sit out in the car. Thank God for that. Amen. I am not down and out about that. I'm down and out about me and you. For us to realize who we are and what we're doing here. And then they'll realize, Rick, look, it's going to end with me and you being the same as he is. From 1920 there, you're going into the millennium. If she appears any more after then, it'll be at the white throne with him sitting on the throne. What about it? Come on, musicians. Think on these things. Can you put your name in there? Because that King of Kings and Lord of Lords is all capital. But now I'm going to say it to you, so listen. So then with Moses at the burning bush, because he wrote the books of the Bible, right? Five of them. Moses wrote five books of the Bible. From then on, it was records of prophets and this doing that and that doing that and this taking place and the children of Israel and where they were doing and a different thing. But they started out in him writing those books. And he put his final stamp on it when he said, Moses, I'm going to tell you my name. He said, okay, tell me your name and I'll go to Egypt. He said, I am. Remember the story. Listen. When he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Moses said, I done repeated this to you. I done told you to start with. I know about Abraham. I know about Isaac. I know about Jacob. I know about all the things that you've done. And he did. He knew all about the records there. God said, okay, Moses, I'm going to give you a little bit more of my name if you'll just listen. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God. I am. He said, I am that that I was back there to them, standing right here now as Hebrews 13:8. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Moses said, let's go. Get your book and read it. Moses never said another word after that was made into his statement. Moses knew where he was going and what he was going to do. When the bride realizes who she is and what she's here for, you don't have to worry then. Let's stand together. What we got, brother? Anybody have a need?
People who can understand why we are so happy and free. We crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land.
Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
Oh, this is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. Crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is my heaven to me. Oh, when I get happy, I sing and I shout. The devil don't believe it, I see. But I'm filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt.
And this we'll send a prayer call. Believing and saying that by his stripes he's healed, right? Let's believe it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just send this prayer cloth, believing that by your stripes our sister's healed and everything is well. Take care of Brother Hal there while he's at it, Lord. Let everything be all right. Thank you for being with him. Thank you for being you. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me, praise God. This is like heaven to me.
My brother's simply stating one thing. Whatever they tell him, he's got. And they really ain't never been able to balance it out good yet. That's what I like about it today. They say, we think. Well, no, I want to know. But he said, God's going to take care of this. So let's believe it, right? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we lay our hands upon our brother, believing thy word that by your stripes he's healed. And you take care of all of these problems that he's got and set him free, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heaven to me, I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. We find many people who can understand why we are so happy and free. We cross over Jordan to
Pray. We all know Sister Beam and the wonderful sister. And let's just send these prayer calls to her and believe it and believe that all is well. And tell her there's two there. We just might need it for something else. Lord Jesus, we give our sister this prayer cloth to take to her sister, and that all is well because we believe you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else before we go?
Oh, this is like heaven to me.
Remember the service this afternoon. Just make sure and I go out, kind of take your time going out, let them start and work your way out, because we're trying to just be nice as we can and not have nothing to Father, we ask you to just be with us now as we go our separate ways and bring us back together this afternoon to hear thy word. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, when I get happy, I sing and I shout. The devil don't believe it, I see. But I feel with the Spirit there isn't a doubt. And this is what's the matter with me.